태고.
Connectivity 188. I'm your host Nicholas Bray, and today I'm joined by Brian Rose.
Hi everyone.
Zachary Miller.
Catchy catchphrase.
And Neil Ronahan.
Hi everybody.
So today, guys, we're going to be talking about our game of the year, or our potential games of the year.
I guess our game of the year after three quarters of the year.
Yeah.
So our game of three quarters of the year.
So that's our topic for this episode, but once again, we will start off just by sort of easing into it and having a little bit of a chat about what we've been playing or what we've been doing lately. Neil, what do you want to talk about?
I want to talk about my game of the year, which is Tony Hawk 5. as we record this, it's the day that Tony Hawk Pro Skater 5 came out. And the internet, I guess, has found a new punching bag, and they are currently, I believe that Tony Hawk's virtual corpse is on the ground, and he's been brutalized. It's not a pretty sight. But I've been playing the game. I preloaded it digitally the first time I've ever done that on PlayStation, because there was a lot of, like, people didn't really know much about it. There were no review copies sent out, so I figured, I'm gonna get it, I'm gonna play it right away. So I did. I played it for like an hour or two last night. I played it for like an hour or two more when I got home from work today. And I'm really enjoying Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 5, despite popular opinion.
Yeah, I mean, people have been bagging on it over glitches and stuff. But, you know, I watched your stream last night.
Yeah.
And I didn't really see any problems. I mean, it crashed once.
Yeah, and I think, and like, it hasn't happened since. And I don't think there's a timer that I can check, but I've put like 3-4 hours into it at this point. And it crashed once, and I think that's more on my PS4 than it is the game, because I think I need to send in my PS4 to Sony at some point, but it's just that, like, the crashing error that I'm getting is not frequent enough that I keep on being like, oh, I guess I should send it in, because I think I'm already out of warranty at this point, so
yeah.
Who cares?
My biggest concern with your stream, Neil, is it's not a great looking game.
It doesn't look great, but okay. I'm gonna say this.
I mean, I know it sounds like I'm being a graphics whore, but like Tony Hawk, it looks a little worse than like Tony Hawk 3, which was colorful.
I mean, it doesn't. I can assure you, it does not. that's called. I guess comparatively to where games were at in 2001 when Tony Hawk 3 came out, yes, Tony Hawk 5 looks like crap. Compared to where games are at now to where they were in 2001.
Right.
Like, not that the Tony Hawk series was ever, like, a technological marvel, but, like, yes, this is a plain Jane-looking game. It's Unreal Engine 3, and it's nothing prettier than that. But as far as the way the game handles and the way the game feels, I really like it. It's a little bit different. Like, they have this weird slam mechanic that... I know that Zach, at least you are familiar with the Hawk series... like, when you grind, when you press the button to grind, now you do this thing where you, like, slam right downward. Which, once you actually, like, get used to it, it's actually kind of helpful. Because, like, when you're in the air and you're like, okay, I want to, like, land on this rail, you don't need to worry about, like, making sure you have the right, like, depth for it. You can just press the grind button and you go right down to it.
Oh, that's kind of nice.
But it takes... That took a lot of getting used to.
It's like the act of reload
yeah,
of Tony no, Hawk.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of is. And like, with grinding, you can't fall when you grind, which is just weird.
That is weird.
Like, you'll just, like, if you lose balance, you just, like, it ends.
Oh, okay.
Like, the grind ends and, like, you get off the rail. And it's just, in general, it kind of feels, like, easier to play, which I don't think is really a terrible thing.
No.
It's just that it's different. And I haven't, like I said, I've been playing it for 3-4 hours, and I haven't really had any, like, major issues or, like, you know, the all the laughable gifs going around. Like, none of that's really happened to me. I've had, I think that, like, the game's, like, user interface is kind of bad, and, like, there's some really brutal load times sometimes. Like, it's, for games like Tony Hawk, it's all about, like, if you could reach your eye and it's instantaneous.
Yeah.
And it's not in this, it's a couple seconds, which, I mean, like, there are a lot of games that I really like that have that same problem.
Is this the kind of thing you can see them patching in the future if they decide to patch?
Like, so
these problems.
I don't know if.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know if Activision gives a shit.
Yeah,
because and I guess
it's
I'll kind of.
It's a Spider-Man situation.
Well, I'll kind of wrap up my feelings on the games before we get to the larger image of Tony Hawk in video games in general. But I've been enjoying the game a lot. It's definitely like. Because I've been wound up talking to a lot of people on Twitter about this. It's like a B movie. Like, that's the way I feel like this game is. Like, it's if you were to put a gun to my head and be like, you need to write a review and give it a score right now. Like, I don't know. Like, I'd still have to play a lot more before I'd give it a final score. But, like, 7? Like, that would be my gut right now. Like, it's not bad. It's not amazing. It's got issues. Like, it might even go lower the more I play into it. I don't know. But I do not regret spending the full $60 on it so far, and I don't think that's going to change. It's also got some kind of cool online stuff that I'm gonna try with my brother and possibly a friend of the show, Tyler Treese.
Nice.
Where you can just kind of, like, everyone, you can make a private match, and then, like, you'll be in a level, and you can all just play the game at the same time, and, like, fuck with each other and run into each other and start, like, competitions, kind of like, all right, who can get the best combo in 2 minutes, go. Who can get the highest score in 2 minutes, go.
That's cool.
I played that with some random people, and I've been enjoying it. But getting to Tony Hawk in a broader perspective, the Activision contract with Tony Hawk ends at the end of 2015. So
they had to get it out the door.
Yeah, and it was also, it came out on September 29th, which is 2 days away from the end of a quarter. So that's probably another reason why it got forced out. And by the end of 2015, Activision's likely not going to re-up with Tony Hawk. So there will probably be no more Tony Hawk's Pro Skater games.
Wow.
Because I had the credits on because I was curious just to see, like, who worked on this and stuff like that. And I noticed that the Pro Skater is copyright Activision. I mean, naturally, Tony Hawk has his own name, so.
So Tony Hawk can make a new game, but it won't be Tony Hawk's Pro Skater.
Yeah, like, that's where we might be, is that the license for a Tony Hawk video game might not be with Activision anymore. Yeah. And with how the series is gone, I don't know, like, I can't imagine Tony Hawk 5 is going to sell that well. It might do surprisingly well, because it does play on nostalgia a lot. Like, for example, I was in, even if it was terrible. And I know everyone's kind of says it's terrible. I don't think it's that bad.
Who was the developer on this?
Robomoto. They did Tony Hawk's HD. They did Tony Hawk Ride and Shred, the terrible skateboard peripheral games. And I think a lot of those developers, like, they worked on, like, the Fight Night series, Mortal Kombat. They're, like, old former Midway people.
Oh, okay.
Next game will be Tony Hawk's Professional Skateboarder.
He'll be wearing a tux.
All right, good to know.
But yeah, that's Tony Hawk. I've been digging it. And I guess briefly. Well, first off, Nick, when is this going up?
Next week.
Okay, Legend of Legacy on 3DS. Is it going to go up after October 9th, or is it, like...
It'll go out next Wednesday, so whatever.
Okay. So I can't say my review score of the game, but I can talk about it in preview-like fashion. The Legend of Legacy is a 3DS game coming out on October 13th. I've been playing through it for review, and it's kind of a weird RPG. It's got amazing music. But the thing, I don't know, have any of you guys played the Saga series at all? I think, what is it? It's the Final Fantasy Game Boy games were part of that.
Mystic Quest.
Oh, were they?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
But the way this game works is that it's a lot, It's not like cartography on the level of Etrian Odyssey, but you are kind of just exploring this like continent and finding new pieces about it and like discovering magic again and stuff like that. But you have these 7 different adventurers. You pick one of them to be your main character, and you can kind of build your party however you want. But everyone's kind of, it's more like an avatar. Everybody can kind of learn specific things. They all have some strengths and weaknesses. But you don't traditionally level up in this game, which at first I found really frustrating, but I've kind of turned on it over time. And that, like, you know, as you attack, as you defend, then you level that up. And as you use different weapons, you'll kind of trigger it where, like, you'll get a new skill and a new ability. And it's this really, it's got a really nice flow to it after you get past the first area, which is a little unfortunate because there is a demo out there and it has the part of the game that I've probably liked the least, which is the beginning. But I am, if you guys are hankering for an RPG that is a very streamlined, like, no-nonsense, focused on the gameplay kind of RPG, there's the demo on the 3DS eShop that you can go download, and it's got, and that can carry over to the final game. I will have to sit down at some point. I still have like a week to go until I gotta write the review anyway. And I think I've still got like another 10 hours in the game left too. I don't know where I'm going to end up with the review score, and I can't say that right now because it's not even going to be up yet. But I've been enjoying it a lot, so read the review.
So, would you say this is a pretty lengthy game?
I've heard it's about 25-30 hours. I'm closing in on 20 hours right now. It's not like it. It actually reminds me of Bravely Default to a certain extent, except for like if you just remove the story.
Okay. That's kind of weird, like, if it's focused on gameplay, and RPGs are usually about a story.
Yeah.
I mean, like, there is a story, right?
Yeah, but it's very, like,
it's loose. But it's not, like, super interesting. Or...
Yeah. Like, it's basically, like, there's this weird continent that, like, came out of the ocean, and there are 7 different characters that are going to... They're all going there for different reasons. And, like, depending on the main character that you pick, you can pick from 7. There's a frog, so that's pretty cool.
Huh.
There's also, like, there's...
So it's, you know, a, like, secret sequel to Chrono Trigger.
No, it's not. although the writer on the game, who he's not even credited as writing it, he's credited as text direction, because there's not really that much of a story. It is the same guy who wrote Chrono Trigger.
Oh, and
Chrono
Cross. Wow.
Masato Kato, or I don't know how I'm saying. But, I mean, it's a really neat game. But it's definitely, like, I don't think it's for everyone.
No. Mm.
But as the more I play it, the more I think it might be for me. But definitely, if anything that I've said is remotely interesting, go check out the demo. Like, I like how Atlas does demos, because they usually give you a very good taste of the game.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'll check it out.
Now I think I'm done.
All right.
LEGO Dimensions is interesting. No.
Hi.
Yeah, so Zach, what have you been doing? You haven't been on for a while, so...
No, that's true, I haven't. I have not had a ton of time for video games, but I have been playing a lot of Nova 111 on the Wii U eShop, and since it's already come out, I can talk about it. I'm reviewing it, and it's... I was explaining this to Neil the other day. It's kind of a turn-based version of Pixel Junk Shooter.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to describe. You move one tile at a time, even though it's a two-dimensional side-scrolling level. Your moves are counted, and each time you move, an enemy moves, or some environmental obstacle will activate or deactivate, and... you have abilities like a beam weapon, or you can phase two squares in front of you, like in Zeo Drifters. And you can stop time briefly to stop everything else from having a turn, having a few turns. And it's a really fun game. I'm really surprised by how much I enjoy it. But it has one problem, and it's that it barely has an electronic manual, and the electronic manual doesn't describe shit. So you'll get to the end of a level, and you'll get all these stats that have icons next to them, and you'll have no idea what the stats mean. And you'll go out to the world map, and the level you just completed will have a bunch of different icons on it, and you have no idea what those mean. And it's really frustrating when you complete several levels and the icons change from level to level. So it's going to be tough for completionists, but it's a fun game just to go through. I like it a lot. What else? I guess the only other game of note has been I bought Hyperneptunia Dimension. How do you say that name? Hyperdimension Neptunia U.
Yep. Yo, man, I have no idea.
Action Unleashed for the Vita, because it was on a flash sale. And it is developed by Tamsoft, and it absolutely is a Senran Kagura game. Down to the girls getting their clothes shred when they take too much damage. So I really like it.
Of course you do.
Of course I do, because I just played Senran Kagura 2 Deep Crimson on the 3DS, which I gave something like an 8 on Nintendo World Report. Check it out.
You did. You should read the review. Everybody, read the Everybody review should. Right now.
Yeah, I'll wait.
We're stopping the show. Let's go read the review.
Pause. But yeah, it's exactly the same game, but there are no... There's it's so funny. There's no pretense of story at all. It's just go on these quests, which are always beat these enemies, which is pretty funny to me. But it's given me a good excuse to get my Vita back out, because that had been collecting dust for quite some time. And I want to get Metal Gear Solid after hearing or reading about Nathan Mustafa's great time with the original Metal Gear Solid, which I'd never played. I've never played the original PS1 version.
And you've been giving me shit about Metal Gear Solid 3 for how long?
Hey, the Twin Snakes is amazing, all right?
Okay. So that's I know that a lot of people, like, because I played the Twin Snakes first, actually, but I did play the original on PlayStation as well. But a lot of people give, like, they hate on Twin Snakes. And
I don't know why.
And I do admit that, like, for example, like, the first-person stuff makes that first fight with Ocelot, like, stupid.
Stupid easy. It also makes the sniper wall fight stupid easy.
But I don't know, like, Twin Snakes is still pretty good.
It's all the people that grew up playing the original one, and then when they re-released it, they were just like, oh, it's changed, I hate it. Like, because I played the GameCube one first, and I thought it was great. And I've never gone back to the PS1 version, so, yeah.
I haven't played any of them. I need to.
I think that the first one's awesome. I think that, like, the original Metal Gear Solid, whether you're playing it on PS1 or GameCube, like, that game's incredible. Metal Gear Solid 2 has the stupidest story in the world, and it's beautiful. and I've never been able to get into 3, and I've kind of just come to the conclusion that I think that Metal Gear Solid 3 is one of those games that you either love or don't care for. There's no middle ground.
That could be.
Because I have all of them here, but I haven't played them. It's like another 3 or 4 games from the backlog of everything I have.
It's
crazy.
Well, where I'm going with this story is I tried to buy Metal Gear Solid on the Vita store, and it's not there. Metal Gear VR Missions is.
Well, no, but I think you can, like, well, actually...
I have to buy it on the PS3 and transfer its ass over to the Vita, which is so fucking stupid.
Well, it's because Sony doesn't give a shit about the Vita. That's what the answer is.
Why are some PS1 games on the Vita?
I'm gonna throw this out. If you basically want to know why I'm so frustrated with Sony and the Vita, there's a fantastic article on Kotaku that just sums it all up.
I read that.
Maybe
it's
the
amazing.
Best article Kotaku's ever written.
Yeah.
I mean, it hits the nail on the head, because basically Sony was like, I guess, here's a news section, news breakout, that has nothing to do with Nintendo. Well, I guess it kind of does. But Shuhei Yoshida from Sony made a comment to someone, or like during a panel or something in Europe, about how, okay, yeah, we're not going to make another Vita. Like, we're
He's
done
like,
with handhelds.
He's like, I love the Vita, but mobile killed it.
Yeah, but mobile gaming killed it. And then over at Kotaku, they basically laid out that was like, here are all the reasons why, like, that's not the case. And it's really, Sony never supported it. And it could be a chicken or the egg thing, where it's like, maybe Sony kind of saw the writing on the wall and was like, this isn't worth our time.
No, dude, maybe Sony priced their memory cards so far out of reality
that
nobody bought it.
And, I mean, the honest truth is they lost Monster Hunter.
Right.
Yeah.
Because that's kind of what buoyed the PSP.
True.
It made the PSP, like, the PSP had a slow start, but it was successful, ultimately, mainly because of Monster Hunter.
Yeah. It had, like, 3 Monster Hunter games on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, I love my Vita, but I just never get it out anymore. And
yeah. I'm going to play Mega Man Legends. That's
why is everybody so excited about this stupid RPG? It doesn't age well.
I've never played it.
It's a shitty game.
I've never played it.
Oh, Jesus. It's not even Mega Man.
You're not Mega Man.
Well, you tell me how you enjoy that bastardized RPG.
I don't know if I'll like it, but it's the kind of game that, like... it's the kind of thing that, like, I don't feel... It's like why I don't feel bad spending money on Earthbound Beginnings, even though, like, I don't know, I didn't really enjoy that game that much.
I liked it.
I'm okay with supporting it, and if I don't like it, well, shit, who cares?
Yeah. I just, what confuses me about Mega Man Legends is that everybody and their dog on social media is so excited about Mega Man Legends, and nobody is pointing out, you know, the game's just not great.
You know what's funny is that probably most of those people that are excited about it have never played it and are like, man.
That's probably true. I hope they someday come out with Mega Man X 8 on PS2 Classics, because that I've heard it's actually not bad, but I've never played it. It had such a low print run.
That would be cool.
It's like the Mega Man X 3 of the PlayStation era.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's all I've been playing. And I just ordered a figure from Amy while I was having that conversation.
I'm so pissed about Mega Man Legends. I have to order this figure.
Yup.
So Brian, what's up with you?
Oh, me?
yeah.
Sorry.
No, the other Brian.
Wasn't listening.
The other Brian.
There's people working on the roof and I heard them.
Many,
what the hell? I mean,
how many Brians are on this island?
No, but anyway, what I've been playing lately is Animal Crossing Happy Home Designer. And I did the review of that last week. And I mean...
I might have to double check.
Do you mean you're still playing Animal Crossing Home Designer?
Not anymore, but that's what I've been
the most
recent
thing that you've played.
All right.
Yeah.
I'm
going to
see if you're still the lowest Metacritic review.
I think it is.
Dude, you're bringing down their Metacritic score. You're
to be fair, the Metacritic
purpose.
Score wasn't going to be that high to begin with.
I don't get the people who gave it 8s. I mean, I found it to be pretty average, so I gave it a 5 out of 10. But
you, Game Revolution, and Game Informer all gave it a 5 out of 10.
Yeah, I mean,
I found your review coupled with Seren's talking about on RFN hilarious. I was just laughing the whole time.
Well, because did Seren love it?
Seren hated the fuck out of it.
Okay.
Yeah, it just felt so superficial. I mean, I knew what to expect going in, but I mean, it's like, create this house, and they give you a theme to go with, and if you don't even do that theme, it's like, oh, it looks great. Or like, if you, they give you items to use throughout the house, and if you don't even do those 3 or whatever items, they'll say, oh, well, you need to put these in, so I have to leave them in, and as long as you leave those items in, you don't even have to do anything to clear the level. And yeah, I mean, it's so easy to beat. I beat it in about 5 hours, 6 maybe.
Oh God! You know, it just—I
mean,
it sounds like the worst part of New Leaf, the part that I absolutely hated the most, where people would say, "I need a new piece of furniture," and I'd be like, "Go buy your own."
I bought this game last week mainly because I reviewed Little Battler's Experience for Nintendo Force, and go read the new issue and read my mediocre review of Little Battler's Experience. It's not that great. But I had a physical copy, and I was trading it into GameStop, and I got Animal Crossing Happy Home Designer for, like, $15. So, I figured it was the kind of thing where I was like, okay, this is worth a flyer. Like, I'm curious enough. And I kind of think that, like, at least the people who were more positive about the game, I think they just got in more into the creative aspect with it. Yeah, and I think that's, like, the way that you need to go into this game. Yes, not saying that you kind of being like, well, it was really easy. Like, that, I mean, that's totally valid. But I think that this specific game is more about, like, you know, all right, you know, make really something really fun. Get, like draw and create. Which, once again, it's also to a point of Animal Crossing that I've never really gotten into, but I'm, like, especially with the fact that I'm literally moving into a house, there's a part of me that was like, I just have this kind of morbid curiosity about sitting down and playing this game. I don't know if I'm going to like it or not, but it was worth, like, the $15 drop in the bucket just to see.
How many cards did you get, Neil?
I have too many. I got three packs.
How many cards did you get, Brian?
It came with one. I got Lion.
That's it? Good God.
Yeah. And yeah, I didn't get a pack or anything, but I've thought about it, but, you know, I didn't like the Amiibo integration. I mean, you scan the card and then you can build them a house, and they don't even give you a theme to go with. You just do whatever. And you do bring up a good point, Neil, in that, you know, if you want to be creative and if you want to go into this game thinking, well, I want to be creative, I want to build my own houses, and I want to share this on Miiverse and all that, then this is a game for you. But for me, I saw it as, well, how long am I going to be able to play this? How long am I going to be able to enjoy it? And is there difficulty and stuff like that? And for me, I didn't find that any of that here.
Yeah. That sucks.
Yeah. I mean, I did like creating houses, but if there's no difficulty to do it, then it's like, it was fun while it lasted, but
because at least in, like, the main Animal Crossing game, like, you're like, all right, I'm gonna, like, collect all the fossils, or you know, like, get a new floor for my house or something, like, get the bugs. Like, there are these kind of goals to work towards. There is, I mean, not that there's necessarily, like, an ending to regular Animal Crossing, but it seems like there are ways to get way more satisfaction out of that game than with Happy Home Designer.
Yeah. I mean, the ending to this game, it was, they threw a party for you and they threw streamers and then they just rolled the credits.
You know what's funny? If that was in a Sonic game, people would meme it and it would be the funniest thing ever.
Yeah.
But it's in a Nintendo game, so it's totally fine, guys.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't even realize that. Well, I mean, the other part of the game besides just creating homes is also creating buildings, and that was the part of the game I enjoyed the most because it didn't require you to use themes or whatever. It required you to go out of the box and imagine different things and different styles and all that. So I had fun doing the buildings, so I mostly just worked on towards working on the buildings. And then once it was over, and I think the last level was like hotel or something, and once you complete the hotel, it's like, oh, well, that's the end. Here's the credits. Yeah. Yeah, so I mean, beyond that, beyond Animal Crossing, I've also been thinking about what I should play next, and I should probably beat Sweet Coden by now. I mean,
I never got that.
Yeah, I have both games. I'm at the very last boss in Sweet Coden 1. I've gotten all 108 people, so I need to work on beating that. I mean, I was very close to beating it, and then I just kind of stopped. I don't even know why. I think I got sidetracked with wrestling stuff or whatever. But I need to beat that. Then I want to play Sweet Coden 2 because that's the game everybody loves.
Yeah, that's what I think. If I ever went to go play those games, I would just skip the original and go right to Sweet
Coden 2. I liked it though. It was a very fun game and very old school. I enjoyed it a lot. And
cool.
And now that Konami's like, you know, whatever, I mean, I'd like to see a new Sweet Coden, but I don't think that's happening.
I truly doubt
it. I think you're your best bet is probably, like, wait for someone to kind of make something similar.
Yeah.
Or wait for the people who are responsible for that series to get fired from Konami.
And kickstart something.
Yeah.
They haven't been fired already? What's going on?
Yeah, good point.
Well, no, they're probably all the janitors. Because, I mean, that's apparently true. What they do.
Nobody leaves. They just get demoted to work in the same building forever and ever.
They get sent to the spas.
The one, the reception desk.
Go to the health club, then make a pachinko machine. with RPGs and kind of, like, you know, stopping them and going back to them, I did,
happens to me all the time.
Well, with Bravely Default, I got to the end of the first chapter, and, like, and that was weird, because I got Bravely Default pretty close to launch, but it was, like, right when I was moving into my current apartment, so it's kind of like I bought it and then was just really busy and didn't, like, I bought it probably, the end of February when it came out, and then I didn't touch it until, like, June. And I got through the first chapter, and was like, this is really cool, but then got sidetracked by something else, but left it so I was right at the start of the second chapter. And I picked it up, like, 2 weeks ago. But I'm at the point where, like, now I have all, like, Legend of Legacy, Tony Hawk, LEGO Dimensions, all this other stuff. Picross 3D 2 comes out for the Japanese 3DS, like, tomorrow. So I'm at a point where I'm probably going to get sidetracked and not get back to Bravely Default, but I want to get to the end of the second chapter so that way, like, when I inevitably revisit it in, like, 6 months, I'm not lost. Because all I needed to do was, like, okay, so I was right fresh at the start of chapter 2, I just need to, like, refresh myself on the battle system, and I was good to go because the story kind of, you know, it was the second chapter. It was easy to pick it back up.
Always default the first turn. Or brave. Yeah. Always brave the first turn. Default? Fuck it, I don't know.
Get ready. And, maybe I'll try to make a more push to finish that game, because Bravely Second's out next year.
That's right.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I played a little bit of that. I mean, I think that's where I stopped, too. I stopped playing around the first chapter, or it might have been second. I mean, like, I don't want to spoil it for people who haven't played it yet, but I think there's a part where you have to, like, replay the same bosses and all that. And
you have to play the whole game again.
Yeah. That shouldn't be off.
If you haven't finished Bravely Default, like, skip ahead, like, 2 or 3 minutes.
Yeah.
Nick, have you played Bravely Default at all?
No, and I'm probably not going to.
Okay. So, like... I think that, because I've read ahead about what everyone was complaining about, and I think it's kind of brilliant, but I can understand why it's really annoying. Because it's a very video game, it's like, I guess it might be comparable to Bioshock Infinite, because I think that Bioshock Infinite, the game, sucks, but I like the idea of the story.
Yeah.
And I think that Bravely Default kind of does a similar thing, where it's kind of like you need to go and repeat and repeat and repeat, because it's like a video game. And I think that's kind of cool. But, I mean, I'm saying this from the perspective of someone who read about it and heard people complain about it and was kind of like, no, that actually sounds interesting.
It depends on how it's done. If it's just, like, the same experience, it's kind of tedious, I would think. I mean, I haven't played it up to that part where I have to do things over again, but I felt like, why would I want to go back and play that again? Why can't I go to, like, something new?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, maybe I need to, like, put up and shut up and just, like, get to that part of the game and then judge for myself, as opposed to being like, I don't know, in theory it sounds
cool. Oh, yeah, I should do it too, because I think I stopped, like, right before that started and I haven't gone.
Did you get that far in it?
I am kind of right before that part going to break. And after hearing our dear Guillaume kind of badmouth that part for 2 or 3 RFNs, I said, I just don't want to.
Yeah. I mean, you know? I think, like, there's so much to love about that game, and I think that the sequel is going to be even better, because it seems like they learned a lot, like, they got the feedback.
I would hope
I believe that the developers have directly commented on the fact that, like, don't worry, there's nothing like that in the new one. and the game's out in Japan, and I believe it's confirmed. There is nothing like that in the new one.
Nice.
Okay.
Hmm.
And, I mean, yeah, I do. I think I need to get around to playing through that game, because I've really loved what I've played. It's just that, RPGs can fall by the wayside very quickly.
Oh, yeah.
Even if they're enjoyable ones with really unique and interesting mechanics.
It's pretty much a commitment to get through an RPG, especially at a length like Bravely Default.
Although I am, like, super powered because I have all the people on my friends list that, like, beat the game.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like, if a boss is giving me shit, I'll just call in Danny Bivens and then just destroy worlds.
Yeah. That was my favorite part of the game. Just whenever I had a hard boss, I'm like, okay, I can call this guy who has, like 9 million or whatever. Yeah.
Like, Danny Bivens is a beast in that game. I think he played a lot of Bravely Default.
I should probably add him then. I want to play it.
All right, I think that's it. Spoiler warning over.
Yeah.
Okay, so what I've been doing isn't really a whole lot. I've been playing a lot of Mario Maker, which I'll get into in the next segment. Other than that, we're at a convention on the weekend, and I actually bought one of those Google Cardboard VR thingies.
Oh shit!
Yeah, and because I've been wanting to try out any form of VR, like, for a while now. It's just, I haven't been out. I've been trying to find someone that has, like, an Oculus or something. And one of my friends almost bought one, but pulled out at the last minute, so I wasn't able to try it. But this cardboard thing is actually pretty good. It, like, gives you a pretty good illusion of, like, what it would be like, but, like, when it's way better on, like, a proper dedicated device. So, I don't know. I'd recommend trying one of those out if you're really sort of curious about different VR, what it sort of looks like, and give you, like, the feeling.
Where do you buy these things? I have been wanting.
I assume you can buy them online. I just hadn't really looked far into it. And then at this convention I was at on the weekend, there was a store selling a bunch of them. So I tried it out on their, like, demo unit. And then I was like, okay, I'll buy it.
Oh, okay.
And it's pretty cool. Yeah. Okay. I downloaded a cinema app on my iPhone. So it's like, you know, it looks like you're inside a theater. And you can play, like, you know, put a video on it and pretend that it's a theater screen. I mean, it's not great. You wouldn't want to watch a whole movie with, like, this cardboard version. Because it's sort of, like, you get the effect, but sometimes it's a bit blurry on the edges of the like lenses and stuff. So it's not, like, a clear picture, but it's still pretty cool. So, and some of the games and just Google's, like, demo app, Google Cardboard, like, there's a dedicated app for it, and it has, like, 5 different sort of demos on it. There's, like, one where you're sort of in a museum and, like, looking at, like, dinosaur fossils and stuff. And then there's, like, like, it's like a street view in Paris. It drops you into, like, next to the Eiffel Tower, and you can basically, it's just basically Google Street View, but you can sort of, you know, look around seamlessly and sort of move around and check out Paris. There's a couple of other demos. The effect works, so it's pretty cheap, so yeah, check that out if you're interested. And the other thing I did recently was actually put in the Blu-ray for the Mario Brothers movie.
Yeah,
I mentioned it on the last episode.
Oh my god,
I didn't watch the movie, but I did watch the 1-hour documentary that was produced for the Blu-ray, and that's pretty interesting, actually.
It has it was a clusterfuck of a movie.
God, I have to see that documentary.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. I think, you know, if you're sort of into the lore behind how that movie was made, you might not get, like, it might be, like, sort of all known information, but apparently there was a script, the original script was more, like, kiddie, child-friendly, something closer to actual Mario, and probably more animated, had more animated stuff in it, but then they brought on these two directors, that ended up directing the real movie, and they sort of wanted to take it in a different direction, make it, like, less of, like, a sort of cheesy just for kids thing, and try and, you know, make it a family sort of movie, which, like, might appeal to parents to some degree in that. So they went down this sort of darker interpretation of it, because, you know, they didn't really have any direction from Nintendo, it seemed, and they basically said, yeah, just sort of, you know, make it your own thing, just do what you like, interpret it.
Just make sure Mario's not getting
high. You know, there's probably a few loose guidelines like that, but, like, they sort of were able to just write a script and go at it. So they wrote, the directors wrote the script, I think, or they brought on script writers and made a version of the script. They sort of collaborated on it. And then they built all these sets and props and everything, They actually built the Cooper City in an abandoned cement factory. That wasn't like a soundstage. They went to a cement factory and built the sets inside that, so they could get, like, that's how you got such a big scope in that city, without sort of compositing green screen sort of elements together.
Wow.
And so basically 10 days before shooting, some of the higher ups came in and said, we want you to tone it down, make it more kid friendly, sort of, you know, change the script 10 days before shooting. So,
brilliant.
They did that. They brought some extra new script writers in. They basically rewrote most of the script. So the storyboards and all that the director and, that sort of everyone had worked towards was basically useless. So ended up having to go into shooting, just sort of off the cuff and on the fly, just work it out as they were filming it. So that's like a nightmare. It's amazing that they even finished the movie, if that's the case, all those sort of problems.
Yeah, see, I didn't know that. That's sounds cool. Like they're thankful that that movie even got made at the end, or that's even cool.
I know, yeah. You think, 10 days before they were starting to shoot, but you wouldn't go in and say, we need to rewrite a whole bunch of this stuff.
Was that through Nintendo or someone else?
No, that was just some... I think it was just some executive that didn't like it.
Oh, executives at the movie studio.
Yeah, it was like the movie studio just came in and said, hey, no, do this. Try and do this instead or something. And, if you're interested, check out the full documentary and you'll be able to sort of see all the proper details and everything, because I'm just sort of remembering... It was about a week ago that I watched it, so... But yeah, it was pretty interesting.
Sounds like it.
Yeah. That seems worth watching.
Mm. Okay, so that'll wrap us up for this long intro section, and we'll be back with our sort of game of the year, early game of the year chat, and sort of potential of our favorite games this year after the break. Welcome back. Now we're going to jump into our discussion on our games of the year, or potential games of the year.
Games of three quarters of the year.
The year so far, yeah. Our games of the year so far. Okay, so who wants to jump in first?
Just want to go through lists, or?
Yeah, we can sort of. If you guys have a list, we can sort of. We'll just sort of generalize conversation a bit. So.
All right, I'm gonna be insane, and I think I'm gonna take the bull by the horns here, because as I was explaining to you dudes before we were recording, since last year I've been kind of keeping a running tally of my ranked top 25 games, which is I admit is weird, and looking at how it's progressed, last year was the first year I ever did it, and it was kind of really nice because it whenever I'd play a game, I just put it there, and then I'd kind of every now and then periodically throughout the year, I'd kind of reorder it and then kind of come to the conclusion of what it is by the end of the year. But here is, as of the end of September, here's my top 10 for Wii U and 3DS. I need to make sure, because I also have PS4. Okay. Number 10, Xenoblade Chronicles 3D.
Wow. Okay.
Number 9, Monster Hunter 4 Ultimate.
Okay.
Number 8, Box Boy. Number 7, Affordable Space Adventures. Which is...
Shitty game.
An awesome game.
Nope.
And actually, apparently it sold well. That's what I got into like a back and forth with some raiders on Twitter, in which Affordable Space Adventures and If It Sold Well came up, and then like the official developer Twitter account was like, "We're not going to tell you specifics, but we're very happy." So good for that.
Well, good for them. I'm glad.
But number six, Shovel Knight: Plague of Shadows.
Good man.
Number five, Runbo.
Also good man.
Number four, Super Mario Maker.
Yeah.
Number three, Etrian Odyssey Untold 2.
Good man.
Number two, The Legend of Zelda Majora's Mask 3D. And number one, Splatoon.
Wow.
And I think at this point, I don't think that Splatoon and Majora's Mask are going to move at all. I highly doubt that Etrian Odyssey Untold 2 is going to move from that spot. And hell, I don't think Mario Maker is going to get bumped from being number four.
Have you kept up with Splatoon?
Here's how I work with Splatoon.
Because I dropped that shit like a brick a long time ago.
I will binge on it hardcore for like a week. And then drop it for like a month and a half. And then come back and have like 20 guns to play with.
I need to go back.
It's kind of great. You need to buy... Yeah, well, I mean, it's not that hard to, like, get, like, you just, like, play a night, and then you can go, like, all right, I can get three guns, like...
Yeah, I guess that's true.
But, like, I mean, because I reviewed it and got really into it then, and stuck with it for, like, the first weeks along, basically until E3, I was playing it regularly. And then I got back from E3, I still played it, and then I didn't play it for, like, all of July, and then with the new update in August, I got really into it again, and... I think it was like the beginning of September. Like I had a couple nights where I just hop on and play some matches.
See, that's where I dropped off because everybody suddenly way outmatched me.
Yeah, but like that's. Yeah. I mean, that's why like the squad stuff was wonderful.
Yeah.
I really like. I'd love to get back to that. I know Nick and I we played a bunch. That was fun.
Yeah, that was pretty fun. You know?
Yeah, like I'd love to go back to doing that. It just like I had a great time with that game, and I still am. It's like it's not done.
Mm.
Yeah, that's probably the best. That's probably the best way to play it though, because I mean, when it first came out, there wasn't like a whole lot. But if you waited like a month or two, and then you came back, I mean, there's suddenly a whole bunch of stuff out.
Yeah.
And yeah. I mean, for me personally, I think that is in one of my top three of the year because I normally don't even like first-person shooters or shooters in general, but this one hooked me because I think it's just... I wrote an article about this on NWR, but for me, it was really accessible. Just, it didn't feel like I had to learn how to play or have to go through this hard experience just to enjoy it. I mean, I hopped on when everybody else did, and I had fun with it. It didn't feel taxing. It didn't feel like I had to go through a tough learning experience. It felt right away. And I mean, I've enjoyed the multiplayer a lot. I haven't played single player a whole lot, but
oh god, the single player! Like I love the single player in that game.
Yeah, I beat the first boss.
Yeah, it is. The single player, I like it more than the multiplayer.
Like, it legitimately, like, that might be one of my favorite single player experiences of the year. Like, it's right up there. Like, I think, I mean, Majora's Mask, like, I'd never finished that game before. And that, like, that I got enraptured by that game when I sat down to play it. It was amazing. Etrian Odyssey Untold 2, another fantastic single player experience. And I would say that even without the multiplayer... I think Splatoon single player, like, for me, it was just as memorable as the best single player experiences that I played this year.
Well,
that final boss, nice. Man, that final boss is so good.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is, it comes out of nowhere because all the bosses up until that point were sort of good, interesting and fun, but yeah. Very short and sort of, you know.
And just the style of that game and, like, the flow of it, like, it movement in that game is amazing. And like the music is like it's weird because I think like if that kind of music was in every game I'd get really annoyed with it, but because it's so fresh, Which that was intentional. because it's so fresh and unique, like it stands out, and oh man, like that game is amazing.
Just has a cool vibe to it.
Yeah, like I'm all about that vibe, man. Yeah, but as far as Zach, I know you probably share my passion for Etrian Odyssey Untold too. Like that.
Oh yes.
I have previously played pretty much all of the, like, since Etrian Odyssey 4, I've kept up with all the Etrian Odyssey games, and it was just something about Untold 2, like, the way that game unraveled, like, I got so into it.
Hits that spot.
And if anyone's curious, my top three non-Tendo things, Axiom Verge, Rocket League, and Roundabout.
I still need to get Axiom Verge.
Axiom Verge is very, very good.
I know.
On my overall list, it's right underneath Odyssey Untold 2.
Wow.
I played a little bit of Rocket League, and I like that. It's weird because I played Metroid... what's the one at
Blast E3? Ball.
Metroid, yeah, Blast Ball. And then
I'm sorry.
Yeah, then I played Rocket League, and then
No, wait, let's back up. Fucking Blast Ball is pretty fun. It's just that, here's the problem with Blast Ball that I realized from talking to various people on the NWR staff and just other people, is that the way that game was demoed on the show floor at E3, the people running it didn't really seem to know how the fuck the game controlled.
Excellent.
Because what happened is, it was like, I guess this is slightly inside baseball, I guess, is that in Nintendo's E3 booth, they have the public section, and then, like, we had our interview with, I'm blanking on, she's a producer, Risa Tabata, she's a producer in Chibi-Robo. We had, like, an interview with her, and Nintendo sets up, like, another booth in addition to their main booth that's, like, for press and business and stuff like that. And they will also have demos there. Usually the people at the demos at, like, the press thing are more like, you know, Treehouse people or people that work closer with the game, as opposed to just, like, you know, I'm not going to say booth babes, but just the booth people that are, like, people from event companies that are hired and then trained by Nintendo the day before E3. Playing Blast Ball against this guy who, I think it was me, Justin, and Jared... he kicked the shit out of us because he had been sitting there playing it all day. But we were talking, and he was telling us, like, oh yeah, like, you can do, like, the dodge from Metroid Prime. Like, the kind of, like, if you, like, double tap, you'll do a dodge.
Oh, that's cool.
Right? Is that clear to you guys at all about, like, the Metroid Prime dodge?
Yeah, so when you're sort of locking on, you can push left or right and tap.
And, like, how, like, you can lock on that game and then, like, tilt within the lock-on, much like the Metroid Prime games on Wii. Mm-hmm. And you can do that I think it was the gyro or the C-stick you could do that with. And, like, knowing that changed the way I played that game, and it became way better because I actually knew how to control it. And after playing a lot more Rocket League... I don't think that the Blast Ball sub-mode of Metroid Prime Federation Force will hold a candle to the majesty that is Rocket League, but it is way better than I think people give it credit.
So, Zach, what do you got?
Me? I only have a top three considered.
Whatever.
They're not all 3DS games. Number three is Plague of Shadows.
Which is also on 3DS.
It's also, yeah, that's true. It's also on 3DS. So it could be a 3DS game. Damn good game. So impressed with how they took the time to completely change the game. Plague Knight does not control anything like Shovel Knight, to the point where they had to rebuild every level to incorporate his strange and initially difficult to control moveset. I love all the customization you can do with his stuff, with his potions, although it does get a little old sometimes going to that subscreen all the time.
But it's like, it's so, I love it because it feels so different.
Yeah, it does. Each combination, like, does its own thing. And his screw attack launch is so great. It's so good. But no, it's Plague of Shadows is incredible, and And these guys, these Yacht Club Games guys, can do no wrong. They're so impressive. And I can't wait to see what they do with what is Propeller Knight and is it Spectre Knight?
No, no, it's not Propeller Knight. Because what? Yeah, because I was watching a Nintendo News report and you guys got it wrong. I think it's King Knight. And
King Knight makes more sense.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm gonna go look it up. Talk amongst yourselves.
Have they got more DLC coming?
Yeah.
More characters.
Actually, they have quite a bit more DLC.
They also have like a full battle mode.
You're going to be working on this game for another 3 years.
Yeah, this is going to be their bread and butter. Jeez. But in addition, there's a Shovel Knight amiibo coming, and that's what I'm super excited about.
Spectre Knight and King Knight are the other two campaigns.
Spectre Knight's going to be interesting.
Yeah. King Knight seems like that might be a little...
close to Shovel Knight.
Yeah, I mean, that seems like a little harder to come up with something unique.
Yeah. But Plague of Shadows is incredible, and it's free if you already have the game. You should go play it. And I will tell you, I remember texting Neil after I played the first level, and I was like, I don't know about this game.
I remember that, because then I got worried.
Yeah, but I stuck with it. I played for a while more, and that first level is really fucking hard.
Yeah.
Even though it's super easy. But once his moveset clicks with you, then it's butter. It's so good.
It's so good.
Yeah. Am I going through my whole top three or just?
Yeah, just keep going. Yeah.
Okay. Number two is Etrinasi 2 Untold.
Hell yeah.
Not a game. It's a game I knew nothing about. Nothing about. Oh, you know what? No, wait, I'm sorry. Under protest, number two is Binding of Isaac. For 3DS.
And you got really deep into that.
Dude, it's my most played game now by quite a bit. So again, I can say not a game I even considered I might like, but Adam got it for me for either Wii or 3DS, and I smartly went for the 3DS one, even though it ended up so broken. Because a game like that is perfect for a portable. It's roguelike. I thought I'd hate it, but it's so good. It's just so addictive. Because when you get that 10% of the time you play, when you get a power set that makes you an untouchable god of destruction, it feels so good. So good. It makes up for all the other times you get a shitty item mix and... you're like five levels deep and you're doing 2 damage to enemies instead of 87. It's just great. And I didn't know this is the direction roguelikes went anymore, but each time you beat the game with a different character or you beat a different boss or something, like there's always a goal. And each time you beat that goal, you unlock a new item in the dungeon or to the item pool, and... oh, it's just so good. It was just so broken when it came out. It was so broken. And then it was broken more. And Tyrone Rodriguez was being a real cock about it. And now it's actually still broken. There's several things you just can't do in the game right now that I have not tried. But people on Miiverse and Twitter are all saying, you know, you can't unlock this character, you can't do this, this or that. I don't care. That's all real high-level stuff that I haven't even tried, but they should fix it, for God's sake. And I really hope that they do fix it, and I really hope that the Afterbirth expansion comes to the Nintendo systems.
Which they just announced for...
Steam.
Yeah. And I think PlayStation platforms.
Okay.
But they haven't confirmed it for any other consoles.
Okay. I don't know why it's so broken on 3DS. I mean, it's new 3DS only, and you can kind of see the new 3DS chugging a little bit. Like when you get into a new room, you can kind of watch the stutter take place as the game rolls all of these dice in the background. and figures out all these probabilities. But maybe it's just not a good fit on the 3DS, but that's where I like it, because it's portable and I can play it on the can. I've seriously sank like more than 90 hours into that game. It's insane.
And then number one's Etrian Odyssey.
Number one is Etrian Odyssey, yeah, which I poured a similar amount of time into. Again, a game I knew nothing about. I only knew that Etrian Odyssey was a first-person dungeon crawler. But I tried it on a whim, and I fell in love with it so hard. It's so engaging, and there's so much to do, and cartography is the greatest skill in the world. It's so addictive. And, you know, there are some things I don't like about it. Like, I don't really like preparing meals. That gets kind of stupid. because the recipes are so vague. It's like, boil some meat with some bird bones and a vegetable.
I kind of
and
just
there are a billion up. Things it could be.
I, like, gave up on that at a certain point. And we just kind of go there recipe. Periodically and be like, well, I can guess a lot.
Right, right. Neil, you can speak to this just as well as I can. There's a billion things to do in that game.
And it's like, finishing the story, like, I still have stuff to go back and do. Like, it just,
yeah.
All the missions, like, the just quests, the combat. Yeah. And, like, do you auto-battle a lot?
No, I never did.
Oh, I auto-battle a ton. Like, when
I always think that the characters, if I auto-battle, are going to use up my MP.
No, I think you can... I think they just do regular attacks by default.
Oh, that's not bad.
Because I would just do that, like, when it'd be, like, running into, like, a lower level.
Randos.
Yeah. Like, usually yeah. Random battles. Oh, man, that game.
It's so pretty.
Yeah. And it's just very...
The localization is, like, second to none.
Yeah, and there's just... I mean, because it's a remake of a DS game, and it's just, like, the interface for it is so clean and easy, and there's so much to do.
I need to play classic mode now with New Game Plus.
That's what I haven't played story mode at all. I just played classic, and I really enjoyed it.
Story's great. There's voice acting. I'm sure there's voice acting in classic.
Yeah, because I played story mode on the first Untold, the remake of the first game. And
I got so overleveled. Probably part of this is because I was playing on Picnic because I was trying to beat it for review. But I got so overleveled by the end of the game, I was just slaughtering bosses. it felt so good. And there's like no better feeling than going back to previous floors and just wiping
yep.
the floor with the foes that gave you so much trouble before.
It's just...
You want some monster horn? I can give you 50. Took me 2 minutes. So yeah, Etrian Odyssey 2 Untold is untouchably good. So, and it's not broken like Isaac, so it's number one for sure. Great game. Y'all should play it. It'll probably start going on sale with the rest of the Atlas games in the next month. And based on my love for Etrian Odyssey 2 Untold, I went ahead and bought Etrian Odyssey 1 Untold. I have not touched it because I just fear that I won't pick up any other games for the rest
of the year.
And
I think that really you should check out Etrian Odyssey 4 at some point.
I do want to. Next time it's on sale, I'm going to get it.
And too. I should play Persona Q one of these days. I have Persona Q. I just haven't played it yet.
Persona Q is an Etrian Odyssey game?
It is basically Etrian Odyssey cross Persona.
Persona.
Like, because it's a dungeon crawler, much like Etrian Odyssey, but it has Persona 3 and 4 characters, and, like, some of there are elements of the game that are inspired by Persona. Like, you have personas and stuff.
For attacks, yeah. Well, you kind of almost have personas in Etrian Odyssey, because when you use your force attack, you know, you get a whole new bunch of attacks.
Yeah.
So good. So those are my top three. Mm. I don't really have a top four or five right now, but Splatoon and Mario Maker are not on it. I'm sorry.
So, Brian, what are you thinking?
Okay, for my top three, I don't know if this, like, really counts since it's a virtual console game, but I would go with Earthbound Beginnings as number three, because
sure. right yeah, after I mean, early in the episode, it I was like, I think that game's kind of shitty.
It's technically a 2015 game,
So I would say it's number three. I mean, it's not like as good as Earthbound. I mean, I don't think even close, but it's still.
I mean, that's an indictment in itself.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck you.
But, I mean, I really enjoyed it. I mean, the script is a little bit primitive, but I enjoyed it for what it was. I mean, it was a early era, well, not, it was actually a later era NES title, but as far as RPGs goes on the NES, I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed the gameplay, I liked the characters, I liked the settings. Just everything about it was fun. I mean, it's like Earthbound, but it has the ideas of Earthbound, but Earthbound took those ideas and made them really great, or greater than they were in Mother. So, the music soundtrack's really great, too. I mean, I enjoyed Ayuka Desert, and a lot of other tracks. Or Magicent is also really good. But yeah, just overall, I really enjoyed Earthbound Beginnings. I didn't play the ROM because I didn't want to play like a not official release version of it. That's why I haven't played Mother 3 either. But I really enjoyed Earthbound Beginnings. It's really fun. Number two, I mean, I've been thinking between Splatoon or Mario Maker, and I would probably go with Splatoon. I mean, I talked about it earlier, and I really enjoyed that game as well, because, like I said, I've never been into shooting games, and I probably never will, but this was the game that got me, like, at least kind of interested in the genre. I love the multiplayer. I liked actually winning for once, because every time I'd play Call of Duty or Halo or whatever, I'd die instantly and feel like...
Yeah, me too.
I mean, later on, like, I did play it recently, and I did get creamed by all these level 20-plus people, but yeah, it didn't feel as taxing or strenuous as other first-person shooters are, where you need to be alert at all times.
Helps that the matches are so short.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, 5 minutes, I think? I forget.
Three,
yeah. I mean, it's so easy just to play and sit and play there for a while. It's really like the ideal shooter for me. It's not, I mean, it might not be for like everybody who's into shooters, but it is for me. Because it doesn't take as much time, and there's a bunch of different weapons. I love using the splat roller. I haven't played it in a long time. I need to go back and start playing it, because I think there's like a bunch of new levels and a bunch of new weapons, but I enjoyed that while it lasted, or as long as I played it. And number one would be Mario Maker, because you know, I've been looking forward to this game ever since I first heard about it, and then watching it at E3, it's like, holy crap, this game's gonna be cool. So I got it, and it was pretty cool. I mean, it's so easy to create a level. It's in any of the skins or whatever, like Mario World or Mario 3 or so on. And it's just so easy to do and so fun to do while you're doing it. And it's so easy to test it out and make sure that it's the level you had in your mind. And it's just so easy to pick up and play. And I also love going into the 100 Mario Maker Challenge. I love going in there and just playing everybody's levels. And you know, sometimes they're hit or miss. Like, sometimes there'll be a don't touch this controller level, and I'm like, I've seen enough of those. But, there's really some creative ideas that some people have. And, you know, that's a very, very unique game, and very user-friendly. And very imaginative. I'm looking forward to see what comes about with that game in the future in terms of like DLC, because I'm pretty sure there will be DLC in the future. it'll be interesting to see what they follow up with for that game.
Yeah. I like it. I've been playing it every day, and just really to get the unlocks. But I play people's levels every day too, and coming up with levels to me is the hardest part. I'm kind of faced with creative paralysis every time I go to make a level.
It's kind of funny because that's my favorite part of the game.
Yeah, I think it could be my favorite part of the game too. But I have not gotten a point of inspiration yet. I just look at that blank canvas and I think, God, what am I supposed to do?
The best thing, like, I've found, because, like, the way I make levels in Mario Maker is basically I don't generally have an idea, a solid idea to begin with. I'll just put the ground down, look at the enemy list, and sort of like say, okay, I'm going to use Goombas and Koopa Troopas only, basically. You know, and then just start putting blocks down and sort of just, I don't know, I just play stuff and then edit it later.
Okay.
As long as the jumps and stuff are satisfying. I mean, it doesn't have to be, like, super hard or super easy. It just needs to be enjoyable. That's, like, the aim that I try.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's like when I got the retro Mario Amiibo, it's like, okay, what can I do? What would be, like, the best level to use with a giant Mario? And it would be, like, just fly through walls and use a star and defeat all these crazy enemies and all the giant enemies and stuff
and
like that.
And then you realize why the giant Mario was barely used in games.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I haven't even unpacked my giant Mario.
I haven't used him. I unpacked him, but I haven't... Well, I didn't get him until after... Like, I got him, like, a week after the review, or after the game launched, and I played it during the review period as well.
Yeah,
so. People come up with really crazy, creative level stuff, though. Holy crap!
Yeah,
it's a good game. I love it in theory. I'm not going to get as much out of it as a lot of other people, but I really appreciate it for what it is.
It's very well made.
I'm glad it's around.
Yeah, I mean, the only fault I have with Mario Maker is that, you know, for me, I think, I don't know if it's like everybody, but for me it was like I still had to wait a day to unlock items, like each day, I think, throughout a week or whatever, and I didn't like that part of the game because it kind of like limits you on what you can create, and I'm like,
yeah,
and I get the concept of why they did it. I mean, it wants you to use the tools you have, but it's like, okay, I used all the tools I have and now I'm ready to move on, and it's like I can't move on, and that's the part of the game that annoyed me. But once I unlocked everything, I felt like there's many options to do, and I felt like I could create more.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, that's the only problem I had with it, but other than that, it is a very well made game. It's like one of my favorite games of the year.
I think I'm getting the sound effect package today.
I haven't played around with the sound effects yet. I mean, I don't know. I mean, they're cool, but it's not something I would, like, use a lot.
It's not something you're building a level around,
yeah.
No. I've done that.
Like, what, a disco level?
No, I have a...
Is that your high school level? That
what is it? I forget the name of it. It was the last thing that I worked on before it kind of backed away from the game for a little bit.
I mean, I made my friend play that level, and, like... We all thought it was trippy as.
I mean, that was the point.
It's the weirdest level I've seen.
It's abandoned high school circa 2006.
It makes you feel sick afterwards because it's all in
that's kind
warp
of the
mode.
There was an abandoned high school near where I grew up that, let's just say, I did dumb things there. So that's why I used the Touch Fuzzy Get Dizzy sound effect screen thing. And like, I had a lot of fun with that level.
Yeah.
And like there's a lot of, I mean, there's alternate paths and stuff. I should probably go back because I haven't turned the game on in like a week or so. I should see what comments people have left. I haven't checked in a while. And I like
11,
like I made
11 people have played my only level.
I have the Dead Yoshi Society level that I I made one pre-launch, and then also on the real retail copy.
Poor Yoshi.
And I just and then I still need to finish my Karibo shoe, like, set of four stages. Because I made the first one. Because I was I started like taking notes for how I wanted to do this Karibo shoe, like do a four world or a four level like world of levels. So like the first one's kind of simpler, and doing cool things with Karibo shoe, and then it was gonna get, you know, harder and more complicated. And the whole thing is that like the Goombas are pissed off.
Yeah, it's a good game. It's a good game.
Great game.
All right, Nick, how about you?
I don't have like a lot of games that I've played this year, so it's kind of difficult. So I'm gonna go with Splatoon as number two and Mario Maker as number one.
Which really, like, I mean, I
suspect it's going to be very similar with the rest of the
staff. I think that, this might be an off-air thing, but, like, we might tweak how we do Game of the Year stuff. I don't know. We got to figure that out.
Mario Maker is disqualified.
Yeah. No. I mean, more like in the past couple of years, we've just done where it's like, here's 10 games that we like. Like, maybe we revisit that. We've been doing that for, like, I think 4 or 5 years.
We have.
And I think there might be a more interesting way, more fun way that we could do it. But I think that Splatoon and Mario Maker are like are consensus one and two for Nintendo systems.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
I mean, God, did anything else come out this year? Oh!
I mean, you're not wrong. What, Kirby and the Rainbow Curse.
Okay, that's not on anyone's top 10 list.
And I actually just bumped that off of my top 25. It was lingering at like 23 for a while.
Yeah, it doesn't deserve it.
Mario Party 10, which was really disappointing. And then, I mean, we got...
I remember when we were at PAX and you got people in the corner to play Mario Party 10, and I was like, no, man.
No, it was Mario Party 9, and also Mario Party 9 is good.
Okay.
Mario Party 10 has some of the good elements of Mario Party 9, but then squanders it.
Sorry, I got my Mario parties mixed up.
Although, I don't know, I've been borrowing my I have a friend who, like, I went to high school with, but now he lives in Germany. And every now and then, like, you know, he'll come back and we'll hang out. And last time he was in town was when Mario Party 10 came out. And before he left, the last time I saw him, He lent me his copies of Mario Party 5 and 6 on GameCube and was like, they're probably better than 10.
Oh!
I haven't touched them yet, though. That was like 6 months ago.
Nice.
But I want to, because one of them is like the stupid thing with the microphone that I'd like to at least test out. See what it's like.
I think the last Mario Party game I played was either 4 or 5. I remember like liking that one a whole lot. I forget like which one, because it was a GameCube one.
I always like two. Two was my jam.
Yeah, two is my favorite.
I mean, the one I played the most was one, and I liked that a whole lot, even though my wrist hurt. But
yeah. I don't think I ever actually played any of the GameCube Mario Party games. But it's funny because I think I've played literally every other one. Just none of the one, I think 4 through 7 were on GameCube. Like I got. Like Mario Party 8, I played a lot of drunk Mario Party with that because I was in college. That's just what you did. And then Mario Party 9, I didn't own, but I enjoyed a lot.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, there hasn't been a lot of other Wii U games like published by Nintendo.
Nope.
I mean, we got a slew of a slew is an overstatement because it's what, like Fatal Frame, Yoshi, Xenoblade. Mario Tennis. Devil's Third.
Mario Tennis!
Yeah. Who's ready for their big... Right before Black Friday, hitting stores is Mario Tennis.
You can use the Super Mushroom and be big.
Yeah.
That was the entire demo.
Guys, maybe there will be an RPG mode. Right?
Nope.
Right.
Nope.
Would that even be good? Would that even be good?
It would be better. It would be better than what they're giving us.
I don't even think so. Go back and play those RPG modes. They're kind of neat, but they're not.
They're really... bare bones.
Yeah,
but they're more fun than just hitting the ball through some rings.
I mean, but that's not what you did in any of the recent Mario sports games.
Well, you did in Mario Golf Toadstool, or not Toadstool, to a World Tour for the challenge games.
Yeah, but the challenge things were amazing.
Yeah, the challenge things were damn good.
Like, that was the best part of the game.
Yeah, okay.
Well, the online stuff was really neat, too. But like, as far as like the single-player stuff, I think challenges were far and away the best.
That online game definitely had a shelf life.
Yeah.
I think we all thought, oh, finally, we're going to get our Hot Shots Golf International Tour or whatever.
To be fair,
we tried both
of them online for about the same amount of time, the Vita Hot Shots game and Mario Golf.
Yeah. Basically the same game.
Yeah.
So yeah, I just want to go back to Mario Maker quickly, because I think it's probably my favorite Wii U game of the generation so far, probably.
Damn.
I think that's like, it happens like once every sort of, you know, one game in a generation usually does this for me. It's just sort of, it comes sort of out of nowhere and sort of just hooks
me. Now, was there an episode of Connectivity in which you talked about those games?
Yes, yes. And I didn't have one for Wii U. And
what
now
was your
I do,
Wii one?
It's Mario Maker. Sorry?
What was your Wii
one? My Wii one was BitTrip Runner.
Yeah.
Excellent choice, sir.
Because, you know, like, the whole, I don't know if I got across my thoughts sort of in that segment we did a couple of weeks ago, but it's not necessarily a game that's like the best, technically the best game, like a Mario Galaxy or something, even though I really like those games. It wasn't enough to like sort of become addicted to it and sort of push you over the edge and always wanted to go back and play it for me. So BitTrip Runner was out on the Wii, and Mario Maker is like that for the Wii U. I just want to keep thinking about it and like go back and play it and turn it on just to fiddle around with for 5 minutes. Like, I don't come across those games very often. I think it's probably to do with either like it's got some sort of new gameplay experience that I haven't done before really, or it's just some BitTrip Runner was a platformer, but it was something about it that sort of addicted me a whole lot. And yeah, Mario Maker is the same way. So
nice.
And a few years ago, when during the Wii generation, I did mess around with the PC editor for New Super Mario Bros. Briefly, I made about 6 levels in that. And just comparing that experience to the Mario Maker experience, it's like night and day, because it was so annoying making a level on the computer and then, you know, copying files, taking it to the Wii, blah blah blah. You know, now you can lay down the blocks and instantly play it and edit it on the fly. So, you know, before you would have to go back and forth and slowly make changes to it, and it was very cumbersome. So just having the ability to edit instantaneously is so good.
Yeah, definitely.
And yeah, okay, so oh sorry, yep.
No. That's I was just going to say I completely agree. That's the biggest thing I'm impressed with. If you die during your level, you get to a point where you need to tweak something. You literally just tap the edit button,
yeah,
and you do it right there in front of you. It's super convenient and user friendly.
Mm. It'd be like I think Brian was saying he's looking forward to DLC possibly. So am I. I think having more elements would be like make it even better, make it more fun. Like even if it's
keys,
you know,
I don't know
keys,
if we're gonna
yeah.
see DLC.
Yeah, it's possible.
I
think
they
won't
are.
Do it, but
everything that Nintendo has said to this point has pointed to no DLC.
Really?
Mm. Plans can change. Plans usually do change, but every like back at E3, they were asked about it and they're like, no.
Yeah.
Mm.
I just think it is because it's like every major game this year has some sort of DLC, and it seems like this would be a good game that would have it. But it's weird.
But I think that there could also be an argument made, and I could hear this being discussed in Nintendo, that the DLC is the levels that people are making.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's what... I mean, because if you think about it from the Nintendo perspective, the reason for DLC is to make it evergreen, to keep it going. And
right.
It's worked very well with Mario Kart, with Smash Brothers, with Splatoon. and with Mario Maker, it's like to keep it going, like just people making levels, period.
Right.
Yeah, but I think there's a limit to that. 6 months from now, I think, you know, half the people aren't going to be making levels anymore.
That's exactly what my concern was when I was discussing the review, Neil's review with him. I said, I don't know how many people are going to be sticking with this.
Yeah.
What's the lifespan of this game?
And I think introducing like a DLC pack 6 months to 8 months from now, maybe just like, it wouldn't even have to be like a huge, huge update. Maybe just like a couple of extra level themes, say Ice World and Desert World, add a couple of enemies that are specific to those environments, and a lot more people would come back and, you know, start making levels again with those new features. Maybe there's no point in Nintendo bothering to do that, but I would...
Add some of the bullshit elements from Super Mario Brothers 2, like wind and poison mushrooms.
Yeah. Yeah, just quickly, have you guys gone back and tried to play like Super Mario World after having a lot of time put into Mario Maker?
No, but I've been very curious.
It is insane. I played it the other day, and I've been playing a lot of Mario Maker, obviously. I mean, I've made a few Mario World levels, and the movement speed in Mario felt like it was so fast. I could barely control him. It's going to take a while to readjust to it.
Oh, wow.
It seemed so much faster than anything in Mario Maker, obviously, because it's using the new Super Mario Bros. Physics and stuff, but it was kind of hard to play. Anyway, let's wrap the episode up. So thanks, guys, for jumping on this episode.
Thank you.
Of course.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so do you guys want to share your Twitter handles or anything?
I am at NRON10. That's at NRON10.
I'm at BR26, at BR26.
I'm at ZMiller1902.
Okay, I'm at NicholasNWR. If you have any questions or comments, please send them into connectivity@NintendoWorldReport.com. And that's it. Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Our host.
Ah, oh, jeez.
Really?
Well,
wrap
it up, Neil.
Maybe we can talk amongst ourselves.
Okay.
Have you guys played anything on non-Nintendo systems that would be notable?
What did I just play? I really liked Arkham Knight. I know it kind of got shit on, but I enjoyed it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
One of the few positive things I've heard about that game.
I thought it was good.
From people that I know.
It's just like Arkham City, but you drive a car around sometimes.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna be very stubborn with that and wait for it to be very cheap.
You should. It's also, like, maybe the prettiest game on the system that I own.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. Like,
it's so pretty. Really nice.
I want to check it out at some point. I am excited, and I guess now we're not really talking Game of the Year anymore. We're just waiting to see if Nick will... be alive.
Talking about shit we played in the last 12 months.
No, dude, that Xbox One bundle that comes with Gears of War, Ori and the Blind Forest, and Rare Replay. Like,
I know.
She will be mine.
Oh, but how much is... Isn't it like $500?
Hmm?
Hello?
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 Sorry.
Answer?
Nick?
Hello? Hey, there he is.
Okay, he's back.
Okay.
Why can I hear myself?
Oh, God, this is terrifying. What happened?
I can hear myself real well. And, oh, shit. Nick, are you on?
Yeah, I'm on. Yeah, now.
Why can I hear myself so well? This is really weird.
This is amazing.
Is Neil there?
No, there's like an echo.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
I can hear everybody.
Hello?
All right, this might be the least nice ending episode ever. Because, like, everybody sounds weird right now on Skype.
Yeah.
Let's try... We'll hang up the call and try again.
Okay.
Wait,
is there another call still going?
Oh, yeah.
Maybe that's what it was. that's what happened.
That's why I was thinking there's an echo.
I'm not answering.
Yeah.
How do we end the other call? What the fuck? Are you guys gone?
I'm here.
No, I'm still here.
Jesus. Shit. Nick.
Hello?
Nick, can you hear me?
Hello?
What the hell? Okay. I'm looking at Skype right now. There's no record of another.
No, I don't see it.
There shouldn't be a call right now. Guys, nothing makes sense.
Oh, God. Okay. This is really weird.
Skype has gone sentient.
We can't figure out who is hosting the call. It's not me. I can't hang up.
No, like, really, I'm looking at Skype right now. There's no record of this call existing.
I can call the group, which is really weird.
Yeah, I can too. That's really weird.
Restart Skype. All right, bye, everybody.
What?
Okay, Nick.
Is it working?
This is really weird.
I guess, like, they both left. Because, okay, so what was happening is that there was a second call that we didn't know.
I am the very model of a how it was working. General. I've information vegetable.
But now I think because they left and they quit out of Skype, they might be able to.
That was historical.
Mm-hmm.
For a marathon to water do in order categorical.
Yeah, my internet connection's been bad the last day or so, too. It just cut out.
Yes. No. It's busy. Neil?
Hello.
Okay, is it working?
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, Neil.
Can you hear me? Hey.
Nick?
Yeah.
Okay. Ryan, should we just, like, wrap this up?
Yup.
Yeah, once Brian gets back, we'll wrap it up.
Yes, you should, sir.
I couldn't even really hear what was happening near the end there because my connection is so bad. I'm running off 3G on my phone now. Because my internet is
all
repeating.
Dying for some
reason. We had two calls. Oh, no. We had two calls going at the same time.
Yeah.
And we couldn't figure out how. All right, Neil, are you still there?
Yep.
Okay, good. All right, Nick, wrap her up.
Well, we haven't got Brian.
Oh. Oh, yeah. Shit. Brian, call in.